All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, and this is a painful one for us because I'm sure a lot of you guys are experience high ARs, and we did in the past, kind of to a ridiculous amount. And this was a big inflection point for us, and kind of we made the leap to be ironclad with our financial policies and not take maybe or really not take any gray areas at all. I mean, we really are ironclad, and this was a big help for our practice, and we'll get into it.
And if you have not been with us before on a Toolbox Tuesday, in our practices, Tuesday Huddle, the theme is Toolbox Tuesday, where we pull out one of the very many resources that we have and have all of our team members just focus on reviewing that one resource and make sure that everybody's on the same page. So we did our introduction to our financial policies several weeks ago, and this is part two of this, where we're going to talk about some of the patient objections that we had when we really started to establish and made sure everyone was upholding the financial policies that we had all agreed upon. And just to review what our financial policies are in our practices, it means that co-payments are due at the time of service. It means that we will appeal a claim for a patient once on their behalf. At that point, they need to get involved in it. And it means that we require 48 hours business notice cancellation to avoid incurring a cancellation fee, as just a brief overview of some of the highlights.
Yeah, and then what we tell our team time and time again about that last one about the cancellation fee, we are not looking to make a dime like cancellation fees. It is a
Never.
deterrent ever. And so the amount of times that we actually have to charge that is few and far between, but we do, and not because we want to make the money, because there's no possible way, unless you're charging a full fee for a cancellation fee, which I don't think anyone is, but there's just no way that you're going to be able to cover that, what that doctor, what the office would have collected on that time. It's simply a deterrent to make a patient know that this appointment is dedicated to them and that we expect them to uphold their promises.
Yeah, so the first question that we get asked with this, and I think this honestly is the biggest pain point and fear that doctors have in implementing a financial policy, especially when you've inherited financial policies. If you've done an acquisition like we did, which we were also in that situation of then we were the new owners, we were already the invaders, and then we're trying to chase after people to owe money. That went over real well.
That
But the
did not
first
go well.
question that we get, sense the sarcasm. The first question we get is, did we lose patients over this? Yep, sure did. And we still do. We still do. There are patients who want to pay $5 a month from now until the end of time. And I am not exaggerating when I say that. That doesn't work for us. Right? Our doctors are not willing, nor should they be expected to wait for years at a time to be reimbursed for the services that they do. And I put this in perspective for our team members. We have caring people that are on our team, right? And they want to help people out. They're not volunteering their paycheck to do that. They don't want to help them out that much. So, I mean, if we're all going to say that we're not taking a paycheck this week for this patient, okay, let's talk about that. That's never the answer that I get back. We are very open with finances. This is a business and everyone is here for an income. I'm not saying that we're monsters, but that is the reality. So we need to make sure that we're doing our roles and responsibilities when it comes to finances.
Yeah, and this also, we talked last week about the treatment presentation, things like that. And when we don't have ironclad financial policies, those treatment presentations become very difficult because everyone's wheeling and dealing. Everyone's trying to make a deal. Everyone's trying to figure out what I'm gonna owe, what they'll allow me to pay, what they'll allow me to kind of kick onto, months from now, things like that. And it really clogs the system and getting people to schedule sometimes, right? And so there's a little bit of professionalism and a little bit, there's a lot of professionalism in having ironclad financial policies. And like, this is the way we do it. We do this a million times. And how would you like to pay? And this is when it's due. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And what we've also noticed too is that is a definitely a reflection on the doctor's systems too, because when an office has ironclad operational and financial policies, they assume that the dentistry is the same.
And you're going to have people that get feisty over it, but that also can't be a barrier to you not having a policy that you know is going to be best for the financial health of your business. for that 5%. And I had a case study example I've saved that I'm sure has been waiting on bated breath, the case study example we had this week from our practices. So we also, I think it's been 2 or 3 years now, so correct me if I'm wrong, we no longer take cash payments in our practices. Part of this was a post-COVID situation. You know, again, when we didn't know and we thought that, you know, we were all going to die from whatever germs and bacteria were on the dollar bills, but we were having staffing issues with reconciliation. Constantly, the cash box was out of balance. There was just, you know, we're taking cash back and forth to the bank. We just got to the point of like, hey, it's check or credit card, and that's what it is. So we don't take cash in the practices anymore. We made a big announcement about a couple years ago. That's the way that a lot of businesses are running now. Now, when we have patients who have a very small balance under $20, we're not sending them bills every month, but twice a year we do a clean out of all of the small balances and send patients reminders, you know, hey, just to clear it out. I said, we're not hounding someone for $5. We'll get it from them the next time around. Well, it was the end of quarter two. So we sent out balances or statement reminders to everyone who had balances. There was a patient who had a 14 cent balance. Okay. I said, we haven't hounded him. He hasn't been in 6 months. So he sent us back a statement with his 14 cents taped on the statement with some expletives of what we could be doing with that 14 cents. Now, my front office, because they are very well versed and used to how unreasonable patients can be, sent it to me and asked me if they should send it back to him and tell him that we no longer take cash payments. Please don't. let's just leave that alone. But you're going to have those people who are unreasonable, right? I mean, we've had people who have thrown money at us. And in my mind, I'm like, if you want to throw money at me, I'll take it. That's fine. You're going to have people who get upset. You're going to ruffle some feathers. 95% of your patients are going to be reasonable humans about it and realize that this is a business. This is what you expect. And I pose the same question that we talked about when we first did the session on this. Can you afford to continue to have patients in your practice who do not pay for the services that you provide them?
Took me a long time to figure that out, but the answer is absolutely not.
And can you recruit doctors to a practice that your AR is out of control, that your doctors are not going to make their income on the service? Yeah.
And what you're going to start to have is doctors that are going to demand to be paid on production, right? And they're not stupid either. And when dentists have a massive AR and a growing AR, what you start to realize, and we've seen this a number of times, we've looked at practices for acquisition or private clients that we've worked with, things like that. But what you start to see is the mindset with those doctors is more of that production-based mindset, in that, oh, I'm doing dentistry, I must be making money, but they're not collecting for that. And if your collection rate is, we've seen some in the 70s, but if your collection rate is anywhere south of about 95%, you are really, really struggling on a lot of fronts. And it's really, really hard, because doctors are just thinking, I'm going to outproduce my way out of this AR. And it doesn't happen. It just causes the AR to grow and grow and grow and grow. And the longer that goes and the bigger that AR grows, the more uncollectible it becomes. And if you do try to collect it, we learned this the hard way, absolutely. Once you do try to collect it and you make a big push to go after a lot of these patients that have been sitting in your 60 to 90 or 90 plus for a long time, there's all kinds of bad will that happens there. And you get bad reviews, you get patients really upset. Why are you collecting from it now? I thought I was fine. Because they don't remember getting that treatment. They don't remember even coming to the office. They don't remember, hardly ever remember why they got it done. All they remember now is, I owe this guy money.
Right.
And I don't remember why. Yeah.
Well, and there's a false sense of security with AR that we've seen with doctors having this mindset of, well, that means that I'll constantly have money coming in, right? If I go on vacation, that's when we'll collect all that money. This is a domino effect, right? And it's building in the wrong direction exponentially for you.
Yeah. And that's a very much a scarcity mindset. And I think that's a very limiting mindset too, because that's essentially saying that I'm going to be sloppy so that I can have a little bit of collections over time versus a lot more when I'm actually doing the work or when it's appropriate. Right. And it's a huge burden for your front office too, to try to collect from people that are upset. It's not just the doctor that suffers.
Second question that we get about this is, do you have patients post bad reviews about this? Yep. Sure do. People go online. We know this, right? There's trolls on the internet. I saw someone that had a quote that if people had to pay a dollar for every negative comment that they posted online, the world would be a different place, right? But it's a platform. People go and run their mouth without accountability. With some of the financials, and I'm never asking for us to have bad reviews. Please don't misunderstand me. But with some of the financial reviews, negative reviews that we've had posted, they're taking care of themselves. Like when you actually read the nonsense of they wanted me to pay when I checked in for my visit. Yep. That's what I wanted. They wouldn't let me continue treatment because I had a balance on my account. Yep. That's true, right? I'm okay with that. I had to pay the balance that my insurance didn't cover for. Also true in any medical dental office that you've ever been in, right? But they only took a credit card payment that they told me about in advance, right? They only had three financing options. Yep. Also true, right? Also true. So it makes it a lot easier. And again, we're not out to be a jerk. I'm not out to chase people out the door, but we've had doctors comment on this. We've had other patients comment on this, like, oh yeah, I saw that review about that person. Wow. That they're going off on a rant about something that is nonsensical. Sometimes it works to our advantage.
Yeah, it does. Unfortunately, the stars don't, but if you actually take the time to read it a little bit, people realize what the people are complaining about is generally pretty ridiculous.
And what about friends? And I'm using air quotes for those of you that are listening to this. What about your friends in your practices? Asset and I have joked about this for a long time. Maybe we just don't want friends, period. Because usually the people who are, again, in air quotes, friends of the doctor, it was always my favorite thing. I know Dr. Erickson. Do you know? You know, how close are you? Because his true friends, his true family, they come in the office and they don't say boo about anything. Right. Our team members don't know who any of our doctors' true friends are because they don't make a big fuss about it. They come in as a regular patient. They pay their balance. If your true friends that you have, if you're going into their place of business, aren't you wanting to support their business and pay it? Wouldn't you be horribly embarrassed if there was a balance that slipped through on your account for your true friends? Right. The people who are the air quote friends are those who are not truly your friends. And again, do you want to have those kind of people who aren't willing to pay for the services that you're providing them?
Yeah, and I think I truly don't. When I'm using a friend as a service or an acquaintance or something like that, I'm not trying to support their business. And I specifically go in with that mindset. That's not the way I want to do it. I'm going to them because they provide the best service that I need in that situation. Right. And if that's not the same for your friends coming in your practice, at some point that relationship's going to go sour. And because everyone's a friend until they're required to pay a lot of money, or they have a crown that didn't go right, or they have a tooth that didn't go right, things like that. And then it's a very, very bad situation. And sometimes it can really explode really drastically. And just be careful with that, because when people are going to you because they're going to get a deal, they feel like they're going to get special treatment or special financial treatment, things like that, that is a ticking time bomb. Right. That is a ticking time bomb. And you need to, what we really learned the hard way is that, yes, we want friends, of course, but we want them to come to us because they know that we're the best. They know that this is the best office that they can go to. And if they think they can go somewhere else for cheaper, or someone else is going to give them a deal, someone else is going to wheel and deal with them, bye. Take off. That's fine. We can go see each other socially. I don't need to be your dentist.
And just like we talk about with patients, the whole, that relationship, even if they are your best friend, should be a professional one when they're in the office. If they're asking for something outside of that, that's not the relationship that you want.
Right. Right.
Which leads into the hot take topic, I think, on this, because this is something that we are constantly talking with our doctors about. And again, bleeding hearts of the world unite. Our doctors are trying to help patients out. They want to do the right thing by patients, but doesn't giving someone a deal, again, in air quotes, help patients go forward with more treatment? We recently have had this conversation with one of our doctors that this patient has XYZ budget. If I discount it, if I don't charge this, if I don't charge that, he's going to go forward with the whole thing. Is he really? What does that do to your relationship? What does that do to the confidence that that patient has that you're not just diagnosing their pocketbook? Are you truly telling them the treatment that they need, or is it a wheel and deal conversation? This is not a used car lot.
Right. And it cheapens your service too. Yeah. When people see someone trying to make a deal and try to whittle down their cost, things like that. They see someone who doesn't value their own expertise and skill. And it's a little bit of, you know, my old partner a long time ago, we actually did a lot of split tests and you know, he was charging an exorbitant amount per crown, at the time, like $2,500 or so like that. And I was like, you know, let's do a little test and we'll cut mine in half. You'll have yours there and we'll see how we can, you know, how we're going to kind of move forward with different, full mock rehab cases is what we were looking at that time. He won every time. And yes, he was older. Gray hair helps a lot in dentistry. But what I started to realize though, is that if people are going to go forward with a certain amount of treatment, it's not that they want to pay more, but they also realize that there's a lot of expertise involved in dentistry. And not that many people, when they have the money, want to pay a lot less.
Right.
You know, so there's a little bit of value. We're not saying we're blowing it out. We have a number of insurance plans in our practice. And so we're beholden to a little bit of the fee schedules, things like that. So we can't wheel a deal. But for our fee-for-service patients, they don't necessarily always want the cheapest deal. And we'll tell people that in our treatment presentations, like if you're looking for the cheapest option, we're not it.
Nor are we the most expensive.
We're not the most expensive. We're the most efficient. I'll tell you that. And in a lot of ways, I think we're the best, no doubt about it, but we're absolutely not the cheapest. And if you're looking for that, maybe you should go down to XYZ, you know, whatever DSO or whatever chop shop or clinic is down the street, right? And there's a number of them, right? All you have to do is turn your head, you know, side to side, and you're going to find a few of them in most towns in America. So that kind of hits home to a lot of people. But if you don't want it done right and you want it done efficiently, then you're in the right spot.
And this doesn't go well for your doctors either, right? I mean, the doctors will be, oh, well, you know, I'm going to take this off, I'm going to take that off. Those are also the doctors that then come back to you 3 weeks later and they're complaining about their lab bills.
Yeah.
And somehow they missed the disconnect there. You know, so their time is worth something and they should be reimbursed for it. And this makes it incredibly difficult on your team and quite honestly undermines your team, right? Because your team is doing a treatment presentation based off of the standards that we have set. They have it entered in there and then it becomes, well, I want to talk to doctor whoever, and then they're going to change it. Your team can't follow that. There's no way that they can. They're expecting that every single time and have completely lost any authority with that patient because they know that they'll just do a wink, wink, nod, nod, and the doctor is going to come in and save them in that situation.
And what that starts with and what that really breeds in a couple of different situations we've even had in the last couple of weeks is that breeds a culture where the patients think they only can talk to the doctor to actually get a true answer. And that,
right.
You talk about clogging up flow of a day or flow of of systems and communication with your office and really upsetting your team. That is got to be the top two or three reasons why that happens. So if you are having those special financial conversations with the patient as a doctor, that is a big time problem with your practice. And it's something that you might not realize. And if you want to be the go-to, you know, guy or girl that, you know, everything is, you know, starts and ends with you and you're the crux of every decision, that's fine. You also become the bottleneck to growth.
Right. So overarching with this, you will absolutely have people who are going to be upset by this. You will likely lose patients over this. If you are establishing a financial policy that you have not had in place before, there will be bad reviews. We've talked about reviews before. You're going to have bad reviews regardless, right? You are not going to make every single person happy. It's about how you respond to those and it's how your team responds to those. It gets back to the sound offs and the scripting. If you're prepared for those situations, those become a lot less intimidating and not being limited by the air quote friends, right? You have special relationships with people and having that line crossed between the personal relationships and the professional relationships just because you're afraid of losing those patients. Most of us cannot afford to continue to have patients in our practices who do not pay for the services that we are providing them, period.
Yeah. And I would argue no one can. Really, no one can. Yeah.
Well, this is to be continued. As always, we will be continuing this series. If you want to learn more about how to implement financial policies like this in your practices, how we can help support you through that, or our private client options, you can reach us by email at connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we are on all of the social media platforms. So please feel free to reach out.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
See you next week. Bye.